To better understand today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew, we need to start at the end with the punchline. And the punchline of this reading today is Jesus' words to his disciples when he says, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And to fully comprehend that punchline, what Jesus is saying here, I want to talk about the Super Bowl. Now, the Super Bowl kicks off this afternoon at 5:30 p.m. It's being played in Houston, Texas. The two teams playing each other for the NFL championship are the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons. Who's going to win this game? It's going to be the Patriots. They're unbeatable. But just so you know, I'll be rooting for Atlanta, but really only for provincial reasons. We're both on the same side of the Mason-Dixon line. But the Patriots, they're going to win. I'm sorry. And if I were putting money, that's where I'd put it. Why are they going to win? Because in the world of football, they are the most righteous. They also have a better record. Today is only the second time that Atlanta has ever played in a Super Bowl, and the first time they lost. For the Patriots, this will be their 9th Super Bowl appearance, and they won 4 of those already. Could win a 5th today. Their most recent win was just 2 years ago. It also comes down to players. The Falcons, they've got a quarterback, but I don't know who he is. The Patriots, they got Tom Brady. And we all know who he is. He's fast. He's strong. He's big. He's incredibly good looking. In fact, the only person better looking than Tom Brady is who? Yeah, his wife. Yes, the Brazilian supermodel. I heard a joke this week in the run-up to the Super Bowl, and it goes, "Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the..." Yes, Tom Brady. Now, there are heretics out there that might claim that Mr. Brady, at the age of 39, is getting a bit old to play. I would argue, no, that experience counts for everything until he pulls a hamstring, and then all bets are off. Then there are coaches. Coaches are important. The Atlanta Falcons, I hear, have a coach. But the Patriots, they've got Bill Belichick, who's coached them for 17 years. And this will be his 7th Super Bowl appearance with this team. And as far as football perfection goes, it's hard to bet against this gridiron machine that is the New England Patriots. In Jesus' day, they may not have had football, but they did have religion. And if you were to ask any man on the street to identify the national champions of religion, they would say, without a doubt, it's the Pharisees. Everyone knew that the Pharisees set the bar on righteousness. The Pharisees stringently observed the laws of Moses, all 613 laws and statutes. When to eat, what to eat, who you could eat with, what to sacrifice, when to work, when to rest, when to worship, how to pray, and more. The Pharisees knew all of this, and they made sure that everyone else was aware of how they kept these laws and regulations to the T. They excelled at this. However, keeping the law to meet a requirement is not the same as keeping the law out of a love for God. When Jesus informs his followers that unless they outrighteous the Pharisees, they will not experience the kingdom of heaven. And this is shocking to them because nobody can outrighteous the Pharisees. They're the best. That's like telling the football team over at Lebanon High School that unless their skills exceed those of the Patriots, they're never going to win state. Those boys are going to look at you like they're crazy because there's no way they can be better than the Patriots. It's inconceivable. But Jesus is telling his followers, yes, it is possible to outrighteous the Pharisees. Jesus has been traveling through Galilee, preaching, teaching, and healing. He called people to repent. He offers a new way of life to those who follow him. He upended people's understanding of the world when he said things like, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Or, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Many interpreted his message as a repudiation of the old ways, a rejection of the faith of their fathers. But Jesus clearly explains to them, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." And he's telling them that as long as the sun crosses the sky and as long as the stars are in the heavens, the law is not going to change. Not one letter, not one even stroke of a letter. Jesus throws his full weight behind the entirety of the law, saying that whoever might break even the smallest of those 613 commandments is going to get kicked out of the game. On the other hand, whoever keeps the law and teaches the law to others will be like the player who carries the ball across the goal line. Touchdown. The law of God, the law of Moses, the Torah, the words of the prophets, these are all still in place. Do not kill. Worship no gods but one. Do not steal. Honor your parents, and so on. As the rich man will later on tell Jesus, "All these things I've kept since my youth." And he had, hadn't he? But then he couldn't take that next step to embrace God. The law is there to guide us. But Jesus wants to know what the law means to us. Is the law just rules to blindly obey? You know, at the end of the day, you could say, "Well, didn't kill anybody. Check." Or does the law point to a specific way of living? A way of living that goes beyond commands and embraces justice and compassion and love. Jesus comes to the people with his words of peace, humility, mercy, forgiveness. Not as an alternative to the law, but as fulfillment. Remember he said, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." In this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is sitting on the side of that hill teaching his disciples what he expects of them. And we have to keep in mind that those with Jesus were far from perfect. They were ordinary people, fishermen, tax collectors, farmers, and more. They are like us. They lead tangled and chaotic lives. They weren't angels. They desperately wanted to know God, but felt too broken and too inadequate. Jesus didn't go to the Pharisees because he knew they wouldn't listen to him. The Pharisees weren't hungry for righteousness. They were filled. He went to those who were aware of their shortcomings. Those who were poor in spirit, those who hungered and thirsted for righteousness, and he calls them to be peacemakers, to be merciful, to follow him to the kingdom. And he tells them, "You are salt." Salt that is not salty is no good. You've got to throw it out. But Jesus reassures his people, telling them, "You are salty. You are good." And Jesus goes to those who know the darkness and assures them that they are light. A lighted lamp, he says, is useless if it can't be seen. A lamp covered by a basket is no good to anyone. Let your light shine brightly so the world may see what you can do. May your light, he says, give glory to God. Back to Tom Brady. If you've read anything about Tom Brady, you'll know that he lives football. His daily regimen is legendary. He is obsessive about practice, workouts, preparation, and diet. He wakes up each day at 3:30 a.m. to study films. He's at the gym by 5:30. Every day he analyzes plays and players. He's not just a talented athlete. He has internalized this game until it's baked into his DNA. As one of his associates describes, football isn't what Tom does. Football is Tom. In the world of football, this man's salty. On the field, he's a bright light. The law of football has etched into his heart. He's a disciple of the game. What if we were as dedicated to being disciples of Jesus? And to be a disciple of Jesus means that we must embrace God's law with the fullness of our being, not just checking off whether we kept it or not. Jesus calls us to be his followers. We are far from perfect, but we are still called. Jesus calls us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And our love for God must become our essence. We must seize the salt and step out of the darkness and be that bright light that shines for God's glory into this world.